Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice. Sportsline's DFS analyst Mike McClure hops on the Ring the Register phone line. Injury returns for some key fantasy players. Trends to know and DFS picks heading into the weekend. NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's up, everybody? Pete Jensen and Rob Reese here on this Friday morning talking fantasy pucks. We got a big show on tap, Rob, and a lot of big names coming back on this Friday between Tom Wilson, maybe Matt Murray, Paul Stastny, even Pavel Buchnevich. So a lot of big injury implications for the returns.
What about Andrei Vasilevskiy? He returned on Thursday against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Had 48 saves, some highlight reel worthy ones. Big trend for the Tampa Bay Lightning, the hottest team in the NHL right now.
So if you're a Louis Domingue owner right now who does not own Andrei Vasilevskiy, are you having a little faith or are you cutting the cord in a standard league?
After last night, I mean, you've got to drop Domingue. I can't believe some of those stops against the Maple Leafs, who obviously are one of the best fantasy teams in the NHL. I have full confidence in Vasilevskiy moving forward, workhorse or not. I don't care about the handcuff here. This is Vasilevsky's show.
So Tom Wilson could return on Friday against the Hurricanes, who will be on the second of a back-to-back. Rob, what's your pulse on Wilson? I know before his injury, you were getting him into your lineups almost every night, and he was cashing in with constant goals.
It's because I want that exposure to Nicklas Backstrom and Alex Ovechkin, who's tied for first in goals in the NHL. That exposure is worth everything to me. Even if Wilson's in the $5,000 range, it is totally worth it. And the bonus now is that Wilson's actually producing like a first-line forward this season.
And Paul Stastny is expected to come back on Friday. I know we said the same about Wednesday, but he didn't end up playing in that game, didn't end up going out for the warm-up, so that was disappointing. But after all, it seems like he might come back on Friday. But there's been word that he was practicing on the third line, so are you a little reluctant to throw him into the fire just yet for DFS contests? I mean, we've well established that he's worth adding off the waiver wire in season-long leagues.
I spoke to his teammate Jonathan Marchessault in the office on Tuesday, and Marchessault, I asked him that question. I said, where does Stastny go in this lineup, given how well Cody Eakin has played on that second line with Pacioretty and Tuck? Marchessault told me, he said, I'm glad I'm not the coach making that decision. I couldn't agree anymore. Now, over the long haul, I do think it will be Stastny's spot. I think Eakin, I looked at his advanced stats. He's not driving possession in the right way. I think they need that elite top six forward, which Paul Stastny has proven to be his entire NHL career. I believe that's his spot, but it will take a couple games.
It's going to be interesting to see how he can boost maybe that second power play unit. I don't expect him to be on the first, but if you're in a league that counts faceoff wins, power play points, assists. I know if you're in a roto league, sometimes you need to catch up on certain categories, and that's a great combination for Paul Stastny. Now, for the New York Rangers, that's a really appealing matchup on this Friday. They're facing the Arizona Coyotes on the second of a back-to-back, and Pavel Buchnevich, who we thought would come back last Saturday, it sounds like will come back in this game and play on a nice second line with Chris Kreider and Kevin Hayes.
I have to be completely honest here. I have no interest in the Rangers from a fantasy angle. I think you'd be shooting yourself in the foot to have any of those guys in a season-long league. I know that there's some hidden value in Chris Kreider. Kevin Hayes has played well, like you mentioned, but really, I just have no interest. And any given moment, that team that's lacking talent, the wheels can come off the bus there. So I'm just taking a hard pass on it. I am proud to say I have no Rangers in my lineup and will not moving forward.
I understand your point about why you don't like the Rangers from a season-long standpoint, but I think they have some appeal here. I'm actually rostering two of their players, Pavel Buchnevich, who I think can bring some speed to the table, some depth scoring. They've taken their time with him coming back, so I'm rostering him for a very cheap price, $4,600, and then I'm also taking a flyer on Henrik Lundqvist, who hasn't been playing well, but I trust him a little bit more at home as opposed to on the road. So that's kind of my strategy. I don't think many people are going to be flocking to the Rangers in this game, and I got two of them on this Friday night.
I like that from a low ownership perspective, especially because the Coyotes are on a second of a back-to-back. Their goaltender situation really looks like it completely derailed their whole team. Even their offense, Galchenyuk's day-to-day, he has been pretty bad too in his past couple of games before the injury. So I agree from a DFS angle that there's some low ownership value there. That's just a team this year that I don't have much action on either way.
And then Matt Murray faces the Boston Bruins. on Friday night. If he plays, it sounds like he could return. We had the same feelings earlier in the week, but it was actually Casey DeSmith and a pretty bad effort by the Penguins against the Chicago Blackhawks the other day. So do the Penguins bounce back here? Do you have any faith in Matt Murray in this game and the rest of the way and or?
I just can't ever predict Matt Murray and feel confident about it. Well, I like that it could be a low ownership play, number one, because his health is uncertain, but number two, his save percentage is abysmal. So that in that standpoint, there's some value there, but Matt Murray is just the guy I do not trust. The Pittsburgh Penguins are a team that I do not trust. I've loaded up past lines with Crosby, with Gensel, with Malkin, with Letang, and it just seems like I miss on a lot of those nights that I pitch Pittsburgh. So that is a personal bias, yes, but this game I do like the Bruins in. I like their road strength. I like that they've played through a series of injuries, a lot of adversity with that lineup. I think they're a stronger team because of it, and it starts with Torey Krug on the back end, who's playing really quality hockey right now.
And regarding the Penguins, I was looking at their prices. So Evgeny Malkin slumping, he's $8,000. Matt Murray does not deserve to be $8,000. So I kind of am attracted by the bounce back appeal of the Penguins, but I'm not crazy about the prices. So I'll probably go in a different direction and then target them on Saturday against the LA Kings, much safer spot.
If Malkin's price was $7,500, I would see Pittsburgh here in a different light. I would be all over the bounce back train, but $8,000 is a pass for me until that comes down. Now, somebody that I know is super high on Pittsburgh in this game and overall DFS in general is Mike McClure from Sportsline. He's a DFS pro with almost $2 million in career winnings at Mike5754 on Twitter. And Mike, I got to start by asking you, this same Pittsburgh team on Wednesday lost 6-3 against Chicago, who was on the second of a back-to-back. How do you account for the unpredictability in the NHL?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of variance when it comes to DFS in general, especially here in the NHL. It's definitely something that you do have to account for. The biggest thing that you have to be aware of is just you can't load up on any one given team on any night. Like a night like tonight in your model, you might have three or four guys from the same team that rate very well because it's a great matchup on paper. But if you stack them all up in your lineup there, like you said, Chicago, they can easily come out and win this game tonight against Winnipeg. And, you could be in a really, really bad spot if you have that team stacked up, knowing that there are so many other games on the slate here. So it's not a situation where in, like, baseball, for example, it might be more beneficial to stack a lineup together with hitters next to each other. In hockey, there is obviously high correlations with, guys getting assists. But there's a lot more risk to stacking up in hockey just because of the scoring volume.
Now, you mentioned stacking, Mike. And for your general lineup strategy, is there one thing that you're going for in terms of either going with a balanced lineup every single night, or do you go with kind of the star-studded lineup with value plays? Is there one way that you lean more than the other, or are you kind of all over the place with your strategy?
It's definitely all over the place. It really depends on the slate, as some nights we have only four games on the schedule, some nights we have eight, like tonight, some nights we have 10. So it really does, it is very slate-dependent. I will say that I almost always will have a little bit of a stack where I'm pairing at least two line mates, and if I'm not pairing two line mates and if I don't feel super confident in the rating and the model on one line, then I'm going to look for a situation where we have a first liner and a second liner that also play on the power play unit together. So that, in theory, is going to give you a little exposure to any goals that the first, most likely any goals scored on the first line, any goals scored with the second line, and then obviously that top power play unit, you get really good exposure there. So that's really a good way to, say like tonight, we like Winnipeg quite a bit. They are on the back-to-back on the road at Chicago. So we still like them, obviously, because Chicago is not a very good team at this point. So a strategy like that tonight, we're probably going to be looking at someone from the first line, someone from the second line, try to get them together on the power play units and really just get ample exposure to that team.
I like Winnipeg tonight, too. I'm looking at Matthew Perreault as a value play, and FanDuel, his price is right at $3,400 on a three-game point streak. Now, you were just mentioning you could easily see Chicago kind of coming out of the woodwork and winning that game, too. Does that mean that you favor entering multiple lineups to have that insurance, or do you enter the same lineup multiple times?
A little bit of both. So I'll have my one primary lineup that I will enter in what I call cash games. So that's going to be like 50-50 contests that pay half of the field, some head-to-head games, some of the single entry tournaments. I'll play that lineup. In that lineup, I'm looking for, you know, some consistency, you know, kind of like I'm talking about there, not really taking a stand on, okay, I want, for instance, I want the second line. I want Little, Line A, and Connor for sure. Like, that's got more upside, obviously, because if that line scores two goals, you're going to have a significant chunk of the points. But there's obviously more downside if that line doesn't score. Winnipeg can still play very well, and you don't really have a piece of it. So I will enter additional tournament lineups like that. But my primary lineup is looking for what I like to call a high floor, some consistency. And the idea there is simply just to finish in the top half of the field to make sure that you're doubling your money, winning enough money to allow you to pay to enter some of those large tournaments with the large payouts.
I wanted to ask you specifically about some Friday games, a couple that I get a little bit hesitant on loading up on, but games that should be on paper loaded with DFS talent. The first game I'm looking at is Bruins at Penguins. Matt Murray could return in this game. We've all seen a save percentage this season. It's abysmal. Bruins, on the other hand, they've got a good thing going now. Patrice Bergeron skating. He could come back next week or so, but still David Krejci on that top line with Marchand and Pasternak. Who do you like in this game on either side, and what's a value play?
So it's interesting. It is. You are correct that Murray has struggled. He's rating as a value play just because he's meaningfully cheaper than some of the other top goalies on the slate. So he's someone that's actually in consideration right now, as a goalie pick, as scary as that sounds. And then other guys, I definitely am going to like anyone from Pitt, really. Boston definitely, you know, bottom 10 team in the league in terms of, you know, on the penalty kill, which is very, you know, that's a spot where we're really looking to take advantage of. Obviously, anytime you have the man advantage, it's easier to score. It's rewarded with more points in DFS. So, you know, that's one of the most basic strategies here is to really pick on teams that struggle with the penalty kill, teams that are also on the road, so that's why we like Pitt quite a bit tonight.
I know it's easy to get wrapped up in the big games of the night or the red hot teams of the night, but you're always trying to look as a DFS owner for sleeper teams, sleeper players, maybe games that are not being drawing fans in terms of star power and stuff like that. Is there any one game on this slate, whether it be like Senators Red Wings or Coyotes Rangers, are you targeting any one of those games heavily on either side or both?
I'm not targeting them heavily yet. You know, if I did, it would definitely be with Detroit and definitely with the Rangers there. They're actually two of the highest favored, you know, teams with the highest implied win probability on the slate. So I will have some interest in like some one-off plays there, but I don't intend to stack that up. So a lot of DFS players now at this point kind of look at Vegas totals and look at money lines there, and they're going to look for the highest money line and essentially stack, you know, that line. And that works in a lot of sports, and it does at times in the NHL as well. But when you're dealing with, you know, minus 140, minus 150 favorites, it's not really as significant as some nights when we get the minus 250, minus 300 favorites. So I'm not someone who really just uses the Vegas model as much as others. So I won't have a ton of exposure to those games tonight.
I was looking at Detroit this night as well. I was thinking about building a lineup around Jimmy Howard. I had him in my lineup at $8,400, thinking, okay, this could be a more low ownership play, even though his price is higher. But then I saw Laurent Brossoit for Winnipeg, who we all seem to agree on is a favorite tonight. Do you think it's worth saving $700 for Brossoit, who's $7,700, or maybe spending up for a Jimmy Howard, who's played really well this season and that you feel a little bit more comfortable about?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So what I would honestly be trying to build my lineup around, you know, everywhere else, and then making that decision at the, you know, with what kind of cap you have left. So there's two things here. I definitely like Jimmy Howard on home ice there against this Ottawa team. However, the savings that you get with Winnipeg definitely is going to help you, you know, pay up for maybe one of the studs that you wouldn't normally be able to get, because that is a very low price, obviously, with the second string goalie getting the start there. So typically, you know, there's two teams I like, which is kind of funny it worked out this way. You know, One spot that we're almost always looking to take advantage of is teams that are playing on the second night of a back-to-back, and even if they're not even on the road. But two teams tonight, Edmonton and Winnipeg, both in that situation. Normally, I wouldn't be that comfortable starting a road goalie on the second night of a back-to-back, but I am in this spot with Winnipeg because, as we know, the Blackhawks, they've shown signs of playing well at times here, but still bottom of the league in terms of the penalty kill, bottom of the league in terms of power play percent, just not a great team right here. So I'm not treating this as a huge back-to-back situation, but that is one thing to look out for. You know, on any given night, you're going to have teams that are playing on the back-to-back, and that is meaningful in terms of the quality of play.
One of the most intriguing games for me to buy into is the Edmonton Oilers, who are probably the hottest DFS team in the league right now, against the Philadelphia Flyers. What's your pulse on that game? Do you have any against-the-grain appeal to the Flyers, or are you kind of loading up on the same names that we've all been pumping up? The Koskinen, who's confirmed to start, the Drysdale, McDavid, Nugent Hopkins, who had a monster game earlier in the week?
Yeah, definitely looking at those guys that we all kind of know that they're very talented elite plays. I will definitely have exposure to them, probably at least one of them in my cash games. Really like Drysdale, really like Nugent Hopkins. Guys like McDavid, the price point's a little prohibitive, for cash games. In tournaments, you can get them in there and find additional value plays. But Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is probably the guy that I will have the most exposure to tonight.
Okay, so how about a little lineup for Friday? Center, wing, D, goalie. Who you got?
Center, wing, D, and goalie. So at goalie at this point, I'm going to take Matt Murray. I'm very high on him here still. I believe my model is very high on him. I don't think a lot of people are going to play him. Still like him as the one of the largest home favorites on the slate. So I'm going to take him there. I'm going to take some lower ownership on him because I do think a lot of people are going to be scared off there. Now, if we move over, let's start back up at center. This is probably a spot where I'm going to elect to get some exposure to either Sidney Crosby or I might pay up for McDavid here, but it's really close. I already told you I like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who's the center on FanDuel. So he's already locked in, but if you wanted additional play, it's probably going to be Sidney Crosby alongside him there. Then if we move to wing, the wing is definitely a spot where I'm going to want some exposure to Winnipeg. There are plenty of options here for Winnipeg that I think really make a ton of sense, and it's just going to come down to what kind of salary cap you have. If you're looking to save a bunch of cap and maybe get one more stud in there, then it's clearly going to be Kyle Connor. But I also like Blake Wheeler in the spot. So it's going to be one of the Winnipeg wingers here, even Patrick Laine. I like all of them there. So really, it's just going to be depending on how you want to build your lineup here. So I gave you Ryan Nugent-Hopkins there, 5,500. If you plug Kyle Connor at 5,500, then you clearly have enough cap space to either pay up for McDavid, you can pay up for Crosby, you can pay up for Ovechkin. All of those guys, elite plays pretty much any time they take the ice. So that's definitely where I'll be at there. And then if we move over to the defender, I'll probably, since I'm building a little cheaper there with Nugent Hopkins and Connor, it's going to end up with Chris Letang in lineups. Very expensive at 6,700, but you definitely know what you're going to get with him there. As you can tell, I'm very high on Pitt tonight based on having Matt Murray. I told you I like Crosby, Letang. So that is the team that I will have stacked up.
It's really interesting because the Penguins have been up and down this season. I'm with you on Matt Murray from like a season-long standpoint where I've had him projected for 35-40 wins each of the past 2 years. He's let me down both times, but definitely some bounce-back appeal there, so I like your confidence in Pittsburgh. So moving ahead to Saturday, the Penguins have a much more favorable matchup. Instead of playing the Bruins, they're playing the LA Kings, who are one of the worst teams in the league. Do you have equal or greater confidence in the Penguins for Saturday, even on the second of a back-to-back?
Yeah, so I'm fine with them on the second night of a back-to-back because we're dealing with two home back. Both of these games are at home. And the weaker opponent is on the back-to-back when they're playing the second night there. So I am definitely going to have exposure to Pittsburgh on Saturday in this game. I like them against LA, as you said, not a very strong team at this point.
Now, what's your take on the Toronto Maple Leafs line combinations? Obviously, Zach Hyman's out of the lineup. They've been kind of up and down since William Nylander's return, but they have a ripe matchup on Saturday against the Florida Panthers, who are one of the most disappointing teams in the league, from my opinion, and I'm sure yours as well. So is that a game that you're jumping all over? I know Kasperi Kapanen had a big game on Thursday, but they kind of were stifled by Andre Vasilevsky. And I know that I read one of your columns from Thursday, and you went heavy on the Maple Leafs, and that's kind of one that you just can't really do much about if the opposing goalie really goes full throttle on them. So are you sticking with the Maple Leafs for Saturday and maybe loading up on them?
Yes, I will definitely have Toronto exposure on Saturday. So one of my favorite things to do with Toronto at this point, especially the way the lines are right now, kind of that strategy I talked about earlier, where I'm basically going to take Tavares, I'm going to take Austin Matthews if I can. Going to give me exposure to both of the top two lines at this point. Then you've obviously got them paired on that top power play unit, which should give you, you know, like I said, by doing that with Tavares, you're getting exposure to Marner. He's also in that top power play unit. So that'll almost definitely be the way that I will attack the situation with Toronto tomorrow, is going to be trying to pick up Tavares and Austin Matthews both.
I want some value on Saturday, and a team that I found a lot of value with recently is the Anaheim Ducks. It seems like whoever's playing with Ryan Getzlaf is always on the board, almost as a standalone player in DFS. It's Andre Kasha with the hat trick on Wednesday night. If you watch the game, they were all kind of fluky goals, but in DFS, who cares about that? Do you look at the Ducks at Blue Jackets as maybe a game that you can find some value plays on both sides of the ice?
Yes, Andre is definitely someone that I've been playing him very frequently as a standalone play. I haven't been pairing him with anybody. He always rates well in my model. The DFS sites just simply do not increase the price point on him. And a little bit for good reason, but, man, they are playing well right now. And like you said, it's really anyone playing alongside Getzlaf. So, yeah, he is definitely my favorite at this point.
Now, if I had to ask you, I know we don't have the prices for Saturday, but somebody that you look at this slate that jumps out to you that you would build your whole lineup around, give me one player to start there.
I mean, it's probably going to be Austin Matthews, or it's going to be someone like Sidney Crosby for the Penguins. I love the matchup for both of those teams. As you mentioned, the Panthers really disappointing right now. I'll probably lean towards Sidney Crosby again, even though the Penguins are on the back-to-back. Just love them at home against LA. You know, this is LA team is nowhere near what they used to be. So great matchup there. So probably going to be, again, the stud with Sidney Crosby is where I'm going to be starting tomorrow.
And probably the most attractive game on the slate for Saturday, I think, is the Buffalo Sabres and the Washington Capitals. The Sabres, one of the biggest surprises of the season. Sam Reinhart's rolling right now. The Sabres have won two in a row after that little losing skid. But the Washington Capitals might get Tom Wilson back on Friday. They also already got TJ Oshie back earlier in the week, and he scored a goal in his return. So the Capitals have weathered the storm, and they're now going up against the Sabres' this marquee matchup. And the Capitals will be on the second of the back-to-back. So are you leaning one way or the other on this matchup between the defending champs and probably the biggest surprise team in the league?
Yeah, so it's very, very close because, as you mentioned, the surprise team in the league, the Sabres there, they're very good on the penalty kill, which has really allowed them to have a lot of success early in the season here. And you know, Washington, look, they're one of the best power play teams out there. That's clearly, in my opinion, where Buffalo's kind of lacking is in on the power play. I'm going to give the edge to the home team here with Washington. They are on the back-to-back, but it is definitely not a situation where I'm going to be stacking up and loading up on them, as I would definitely prefer to take advantage of those matchups with Toronto and Pittsburgh more. You know, look, you can play Alex Ovechkin anytime you want to. I mean, he is essentially one of the players in the league that's kind of matchup proof, you know, in terms of DFS. So it's always fine to pay up for him if you like him in tournaments. But overall, yeah, this Buffalo team is good enough that, you know, in years past, this is a spot where we'd be really loading up here.
I don't think that's a game where I've got a goalie pick, but on Saturday, there's a couple intriguing matchups. Where are you going for a goalie?
Yeah, we'll have to see who's in net for Pitt. You know, look, I expect them to be obviously a very large favorite at home there. So I really want to pick on LA. Other than that, I think that we might, you know, it sounds a little crazy, but there might be some value with Markstrom in Vancouver, knowing that the Flyers are going to be on the second night of a road back-to-back. I think there could be a little value there with Markstrom.
Markstrom is definitely a player that everybody needs to view differently. The Canucks have been much more competitive since they've been back close to full strength. Rallied past the Blue Jackets earlier in the week. Markstrom got the win and also put a scare in the Predators in a narrow loss on Thursday. So great point there.
Mike, I got to say, I'm changing my tune on the Pittsburgh Penguins a little bit. I'll definitely have a Friday and Saturday lineup with a few of those guys in there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Mike McClure, Sportsline, a DFS pro with almost $2 million in career winnings. A little jealous of that, Mike. Again, you can find him on Twitter at Mike5754. Check out his articles. He's got great picks in there. A lot of good value plays. And that model that he references, I'm starting to trust that this guy is money, Pete.
Mike's DFS NHL model takes into account a simulation of every minute of every game over 10,000 times. So it's a very extensive model and one that you should follow moving forward and base your decision-making off of to an extent.
Probably a little bit more scientific than simming NHL 19 Pittsburgh versus Boston and seeing who scores. But hey, I love it.
As we get ahead into this Friday slate, one guy that I think we have to touch on because we've both been in his corner all season long and he hasn't really put forth the results just yet prior to Thursday. But on Thursday, Andrei Svechnikov, the rookie that we each projected for over 30 goals this season, had 2 goals on 7 shots and finally got a little bit more time on a line with Sebastian Aho.
Did you see the goals?
It's stifling.
He looked
the first
like,
one especially.
The first one was beautiful. He looks like a player that we projected him for over 30 goals. And now, I know it's one game, but I turn back to when we talked about Max Pacioretty this season when he wasn't playing well. He scored in garbage time. Everyone was ripping him in that Calgary Flames game when they lost 7-3 early in the season. And I came on the show and I said, Max Pacioretty is going to get hot now. It only takes that one good game for an elite goal scorer to shake off that slump, to build that confidence, and to really erupt.
And this is a guy that I think you have to get into your Friday lineup. Even in a tough game against the Washington Capitals on the second of a back-to-back, the chance that he could see bigger minutes and or exposure to Sebastian Aho and Teuvo Teravainen, two guys that are in need of a scoring lift themselves, I think is really attractive for his price, which remains unchanged at $3,600.
So I've shied away from worrying too much about who he plays with because I think Svechnikov is a standalone player that's good enough on any line. So all I'm looking at in his past couple of games and his minutes, and it's really encouraging to me that now we're seeing them around 15. And even Lucas Walmark on that second line in Carolina is playing that same amount of ice time, 14 or 15 minutes. He's a good, intriguing value play to me because if they keep those predominant lines together, he could be playing with Svechnikov. Walmark's $3,200. What's funny is he's in my lineup. I didn't even see that you had Svechnikov in your lineup for $3,600. So I know that we probably both like Washington outright in this contest, but it doesn't mean that Carolina is going to finish with 0 shots on goal or 0 goals. There's going to be some value there.
Washington's going to win this game. I have a lot of confidence in that, like you said. Main reason why, look at their top six now that Tom Wilson could come back and TJ Oshie is already back in the fold for Washington. Ovi, Backstrom, Wilson, Vrana, Kuzi, and Oshie. Name a better top six in the NHL. I don't think he could do it.
I'm struggling to.
Maybe Toronto.
Maybe Toronto, depending on what you prefer. I think they've got a little bit more playmaking there. Washington has outright goal scorers, but in terms of season long and in DFS, you have to consider Washington has only played 3 games this regular season with a fully healthy roster. So big things are coming here. And Pete, honestly, you know, those top guys, Backstrom, Ovechkin, Oshie even, they're all so high ownership. But you can turn to a Jakub Vrana still and find that 12% ownership and get a guy like him. He's not going to hurt your plus minus. He's surely not going to hurt your goal or assist totals. And that's how you can still get access to this team moving forward.
And I wanted to mention that the game is in Carolina. So the Hurricanes have a little bit of an extra energy level, an extra gear, so to speak, that they hit in some home games this season. So a little sneaky appeal for Carolina, even though they've been down a little bit.
One thing I do want to say about sneaky appeal is the Washington fourth line has scored goals in back-to-back games. You can look at Nick Dowd. You can look at Dmitry Yashkin. Travis Boyd's been shooting the puck a lot. So there is sneaky value. If you're completely outright caps and you can't see the Hurricanes getting in there like we do, then you want to look at Washington's fourth line as a way to get some cheap exposure too.
Now let's get to our Friday picks. One game that I'm targeting for some against the grain value is the New Jersey Devils, who are a strong home team on the season. And I'm looking at Nico Hischier, their top line center, as a value pick and a very safe one at that. He has at least a point in five of his past six games. And the New Jersey Devils, even though they've fallen off a cliff on the road, they're 7-2-4 on home ice. So I think they have a little intrigue in this spot.
I do too, and their play has leveled out a little bit. Even their game against the Ducks, where the Ducks had Kasha had that hat trick, they were some fluky goals. I mean, the pucks were bouncing off the boards everywhere, right to Anaheim's tape. So I do like some appeal from the Devils there. I think they're a competitive team, and in DFS, that's really all you need.
And from the Golden Knights standpoint, there's Paul Stastny could potentially come back. You mentioned Jonathan Marchessault. So he scored the other day after you talked to him, and anybody who checks out our stuff from a fantasy standpoint should also look at Rob's piece behind the numbers on Jonathan Marchessault. It was a really unique piece because he said he carries the nickname of the Corsi God, yet he doesn't really care about advanced stats. So that was pretty funny.
I love talking to him. And one of the things that he mentioned to me was how valuable Colin Miller is on that power play. So I'm going to give Marchessault a little shout out here and pick Colin Miller as my value defenseman on the Vegas blue line. I know they've got Shea Theodore. I know they've got Nate Schmidt, but Colin Miller has that power play one spot right now. So in the $4,000 range, you want to target a guy that's got that high-end exposure.
So for my picks, I mentioned Nico Hischier, 5,200. I mentioned Andre Svechnikov, ride the hot hand for extremely cheap, 3,600. Now to my defenseman, Darnell Nurse is playing monster minutes, playing on the first power play unit with Oscar Klefbom out for at least a few weeks, it sounds like, which is unfortunate. The Oilers have been playing really well, but they hung in there against the Winnipeg Jets on Thursday. Very competitive team, whether it's high scoring or low scoring. And Darnell Nurse scored another goal in that game, and it was assisted on the power play by McDavid and Draisaitl. So what more could you ask for?
You can't ask for anything more than that. Those guys are playing big minutes, and they're really, really an intriguing team to watch, a fun team to watch under Ken Hitchcock, too. So that says something about the team in general. My defenseman, I already mentioned, was Colin Miller, but I'm going to turn to my wing now. Matthew Perreault for the Winnipeg Jets, $3,400. He's got points in three straight games. Do yourself a favor and look up his player picture on NHL.com. He looks like a Wookiee out of a forest. I mean, it's awesome. This guy's
long
on fire
hair
right now. He's shooting the puck, so high volume. And if you go back to five games, he's got points in the past four of five. So he's trending up. This is not a line situation, more so that it's a minute situation. And they're actually on the second of a back-to-back, which means that he might be relied on a little bit more heavily to give those top guns some rest.
And we'll wrap this Friday slate up with a couple of goalies. So which direction are you going in?
I'm staying in Winnipeg there with Laurent Brossoit. He's going up against the Chicago Blackhawks. He already beat them earlier in the week. So this is a no-brainer for Paul Maurice to go back to Brossoit in this game. Again, it's a second of a back-to-back, but his price, $7,700. Anybody on the Jets in that price range for a goaltender really is intriguing. If it's high ownership, I still don't care. I feel very comfortable about the Jets.
I've been putting less emphasis on my goalies and trying to hit some value picks. I hit it earlier in the week, I mentioned, with Markstrom. On this night, I'm going with the favorable game between two lesser opponents, Rangers and Henrik Lundqvist, for my goalie. He's only 7,700, and look at his home splits. 8-3-1 with a .936 save percentage. That is vintage Henrik Lundqvist at the Garden this year, which is reinvigorating for everybody who watches that team and knows how they're in rebuilding mode, but he keeps them extremely competitive. I like him over the Coyotes in a slam dunk value goalie play on this Friday night.
I don't mind that play. We already talked about the Rangers, though. You know how I stand there. But Lundqvist, he's the king. He always seems to win games when they need it. Very competitive play. I don't mind that at all. Now, before we get to the Saturday slate, I think it's only fair that we shout out the contest winner from our FanDuel contest on Tuesday. The winner was Awale21. He finished with 227 points, so he really hit a home run there. His top three plays, as picked by you and I, Pete, Ovechkin, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Kyle Connor. And this is a listener to our show because we talk about those three names almost any single time that they're on the slate.
And the Nugent-Hopkins pick was a little off the wall when you look at how everyone's flocking to the top guns of Edmonton. But Nugent-Hopkins gets that exposure and is much cheaper than a McDavid or a Draisaitl. So that's a great strategy to learn moving forward. And Ovechkin is one of those picks that Mike McClure was talking about, and I know you had him in your lineup as well for that contest. We had some ups and downs in that contest, but it was a fun one to follow along throughout the night. I had the Markstrom win. I had Drysdale. Rantanen got some points in garbage time, and David Krejci had three assists, and you had Brad Marchand, so that was one that we were kind of both kicking ourselves for not stacking those guys.
I mean, it's like we weren't even paying attention during the podcast. We should have just stacked Krejci with Marchand. It would have been a no-brainer. We would have been on the top of the leaderboard, but hey, we all won the same amount of money, so at the end of the day, we're all eating better the next day, get a little treat at lunchtime. Now, a couple games, Pete, on Saturday, I think deserve a little bit more attention than one another. Senators on the second of a back-to-back at the Montreal Canadiens. The reason I'm looking at this game, I'm feeling better and better about Carey Price now that Shea Weber's back. He's more comfortable to me as a value goalie in DFS. Are you thinking that's a good play against the Senators team that's a little banged up and tired from that back-to-back?
He's one of the better goalies. He's a top five goalie on this given slate, no doubt about it. And it's encouraging, too, that Jeff Petrie is playing so well. He's had 2 points yesterday on Thursday night. And yeah, Carey Price was not in the net for that debacle game against the Minnesota Wild the other day. He's actually won 4 in a row. So he moved up in our goalie rankings that we were both working on with the goalie master yesterday, Dave Satriano. So Price is trending in the right direction. And that was kind of what we predicted a couple of weeks ago when Shea Weber would come back. We thought that we hadn't seen the best yet from Carey Price. And that's what we're starting to see now.
Now, if his price is over $8,500, I might turn elsewhere. I'd rather have the lock of the night, the upper echelon goalie. But if he's $8,500 or below, I'm rostering Carey Price on Saturday.
And there are some good matchups here. There's Toronto Maple Leafs at the Florida Panthers, where Frederik Andersen, if he plays, has been an elite road goalie. I know they lost against Vasilevsky the other day, but don't have a short memory with Frederik Andersen if he plays in that game. That's a great spot for him. Mike Smith, this was an interesting debate I was having on Thursday night with a fan. Give him a shout out for his input at EricWolf3784. He was giving me and us a lot of heat for not having David Riddick in our top 25 goalies. We had the Edmonton tandem as the only tandem there, and we had Mike Smith in there alone. His argument is that Smith is a risk for the rest of the season between his age and his injury history, and even the current injury or illness, whatever it was, that he undisclosed deal that he left the game with on Wednesday. So David Riddick's rest of the season value, I've kind of taken added notice on after this guy was making some great points about it.
That's a very fair point, and I think we look at this stuff every day, right? And when Mike Smith wins 4 straight games, you start pumping his tires again, you start feeling better about the whole team in general because their top line is one of the best in hockey. So I think you give that added value to Mike Smith, but you're right. When you look at his whole career, he's been a risk nearly every single season. So as high as we can get on him, I think it's fair to taper our expectations and give Riddick a little bit more love. And with that in mind, I think he should be near the end of the top 25 goalie list because he's a great spot starter and emerging truly as the true number one in years to come in Calgary.
And Riddick had a couple of losses when Smith started to take control, but he wasn't terrible in those losses. So his season totals still look very efficient in the grand scheme of things. So keep an eye on him. He's one of those backups or timeshare guys that you don't want to just cut the cord with yet. I would keep him probably over a Louis Domingue or somebody like that. So moving on this Saturday, we have the Flames at the Minnesota Wild. In this game, you mentioned the top line of Calgary. I was looking in Yahoo leagues, the top 2 fantasy players in Yahoo over the past 2 weeks. And also, I believe number 6 were those Flames top liners. Monahan was number 1. He's been unreal. We both had a little love for him coming into the season as a potential bargain based on where he was being drafted. I think around the 90s, but that line is just lineup lock territory, I think.
It is. And Mark Giordano on the back end, you have to get him in your lineup. After that suspension comes back, scores a goal, no big deal. Gotta love that for fantasy players. So I would take the Flames in that game. I don't see a lot of intrigue with the Wild, only because, as we've talked about before, they're hard to predict which guys are going to score that night, and it's a good problem to have, don't get me wrong. It's not a shot against the Wild. It's just when Calgary, you see them on the board, you say, I got Giordano, I got Monahan, Gaudreau. You don't have to think about it.
And one great example of the unpredictability of the Wild, Nino Niederreiter, who's been non-existent all season, seemingly had 2 goals, 1 assist against the Florida Panthers on Thursday. He's probably going to be cheap, but he'll have a very difficult time replicating something like that.
He's one of those players in the NHL that has all the skill in the world, has one of the best releases in the game, but just doesn't find that consistency. So from a fantasy angle here, if he gets consistent, you're going to want to trade for him in season-long leagues.
And we were mentioning how the Blackhawks and the Jets played each other earlier in the week. Two other teams that recently met, Detroit Red Wings at the New York Islanders. This one's a little intriguing for me because I've seen a sign of life from Matt Barzal, and he's playing with Anthony Beauvillier, who has points in each of his past two games, actually goals in each of his past two games against the Penguins and then their most recent game. So with the Red Wings on the second of a back-to-back, that's kind of probably a low ownership stack between Barzal and Beauvillier.
You're going to find your value in the Islanders there. And when I look at the Islanders, you could probably turn to a goalie in that game as well. Detroit, second of a back-to-back, like you mentioned, they could be tired. So you could look at Thomas Greiss, who I don't know if he's still day-to-day, but he was nursing an injury. And then Robin Lehner, who was also nursing an injury at one point. Whoever's going to start there, you could look at with a little bit more favor now that Detroit's in the situation they are.
One injury note in one of the games for Saturday, Rickard Rakell with that sprained ankle is going to remain out through at least the Christmas break, December 24th to 26th, where they have that mandated time off, 3 days. So Rickard Rakell, his absence affects Andre Kasha, who we mentioned earlier, and you also have to view Pontus Åberg differently. He's been on that line for a couple of weeks now and remains very productive with Ryan Getzlaf.
I saw some people dropping Åberg in season-long leagues, and I disagree vehemently with that. There's no reason to let a player like him go. He's not going to hurt your plus-minus, so there's really no excuse to drop him.
Devils Predators, Kyle Turris came back on Thursday, had an assist. Craig Smith's been playing well, and good news on the PK Subban front. Sounds like he could possibly return as early as next week. And also Matt Duchene, we didn't really touch on that for the Ottawa Senators who were playing on Saturday. He's not going to play on Saturday, but he could return as early as next week, which is something that was shocking to me because it sounded like he was going to be out for more than a month a couple of days ago. So that's really encouraging news.
It did sound like it was going to be more serious. Let's turn to a game that has loaded talent here. Stars at Avalanche, who were on the second of a back-to-back in this one on Saturday. But Dallas, we've seen, have some new line combinations. I'm partial to them because they're spreading out that depth a little bit. Granted, now they've lost 2 straight with those new lines, so they might be put in a blender again. But you can look at Dallas now with some intrigue on that second line with Jason Spezza, who's having a pretty good year, all things considered.
And Martin Hanzel's back healthy, but interesting note, he didn't play on Thursday on the second of a back-to-back. It sounded like they gave him some rest, but he is expected to be back on Saturday, and he just gives that top six, I think, a little bit more stability and fantasy category coverage. Scored a power play goal the other day, covers hits, covers faceoffs. When that guy's healthy, I view that team a little bit differently, in a good way.
If this weren't a home game for the Avalanche, I'd be heavy on Dallas in this one, but now that I know that Avs are home, you have to consider spending up for Nate MacKinnon or Mikko Rantanen in your lineup. I mean, it's just one of the most obvious plays on any given slate.
And Miro Heiskanen scored a goal again to cut the deficit yesterday against the San Jose Sharks. He's been really turning it on lately. I know you had him on the cusp of the top 25 defenseman rankings for a rookie, outperforming Rasmus Dahlin and really capitalizing on this period of time with John Klingberg out of the lineup. And one bad note for Colorado's defense, they've allowed 21 goals over the past 4 games. I know we've talked about that team extensively from the back end out. It is not pretty lately for Colorado.
It is not. They need to shore up that back end. But we're going to see Philip Grubauer start the first game, and then most likely they'll turn to Varlamov for the second game. So it's a statement game for both of those guys. One has to step up and claim that spot moving forward.
And for the Vancouver Canucks, right matchup. Last game of the night, but we can't forget to mention it because they're playing the Flyers, who were one of the worst teams in the league on the second of a back-to-back. You wonder about the Flyers because they're losing every night, but they're only 4 games out of a playoff spot, so maybe some bounce-back appeal once Brian Elliott eventually comes back, but this is totally a wreckage in their back end, their crease, so Vancouver is a favorable play. Try to get one of those guys into your lineup, whether it's Edler or Besser or Horvat or Pettersson. I think you got to get one of them against the Flyers on short rest.
Let's stay on that and put Nikolai Goldobin in my lineup as a value wing for Saturday against that Flyers team. there's nothing else to say about them. We don't want to, you know, ruin their parade there, but it is a dire situation in Philadelphia. That's why I like Goldobin as a value play. He's got that exposure to Horvat on the top line, and I know that now with Vancouver, you can say, well, the second line could be outproducing the first line. Goldobin's got points in two straight. His price is almost rock bottom in any given slate. So, and then if you need insurance on that, he's playing 15 minutes a game. So Goldobin to me is a lineup lock on that slate. And then for a center play, it's really hard to look at this slate and maybe not try and spend up for somebody. There's just so many premier matchups. And I think if I had to favor or spend up for a play in this game, I mean, how can you not be looking at the Maple Leafs? Like, that matchup against Florida could be absolutely blowout territory.
And Mike, I wouldn't go so far as to stack Tavares and Matthews. That's just a strategy that I'm not crazy about, putting so many eggs in one basket, but get one of them in your lineup for sure. You want the offensive exposure to that game.
It would be Tavares for me in that one, just because of how well Mitch Marner's playing and then the instability that we might see on that second line. I think now that they've lost a couple in a row, that might be where William Nylander moves up and Patrick Marleau moves up to that second line, and we see Kapanen and Janssen drop down.
And a note on Mitchell Marner: leads the NHL in primary assists. So Tavares every single night out in a great position for goals outright. I'll go with Kyle Turris. I like the matchup for the Predators for my value center. Again, we don't know his price just yet, but it's probably going to be affordable, very moderate, maybe in the $4,000 range, and the Devils on the second of a back-to-back on Saturday. For the Dallas Stars, one beneficiary of their recent line changes is Valeri Nichushkin, and he's dirt cheap right now. He had an assist on Thursday. I wouldn't mind taking a flyer on him against the Avalanche, who are given a ton of goals. So he's kind of my sneaky wing value play of the night. On to defense, Brandon Montour for the Anaheim Ducks has been close to a point per game in Cam Fowler's absence. That's really encouraging. The Ducks are one of the hotter teams in the league. So I'll go Brandon Montour, ride the hot hand on defense. Any thoughts on a defenseman?
I like Jeff Petrie, and I know that Shea Weber is the most obvious pick from that game, but Jeff Petrie is still getting the job done. He's actually in more favorable offensive positioning than Shea Weber is, who they're relying on way too heavily to be the shutdown guy. Now, granted, he's good at it, but Jeff Petrie, that gives him room to move on the ice and to produce free-flowing game there against the Senators, so I'm sticking with Jeff Petrie.
And looking at the goalies for Saturday, Mike was all over the Penguins for both days. We'll see how that works out. They've lacked consistency, but maybe they get it together this week. You are high on Carey Price, and I agree with that notion. I will go with the Washington Capitals, who are at full strength. Braden Holtby, if he plays, even Phoenix Copley, if he gets the start on the back second of a back-to-back for Washington. I just love that Capitals team at full strength. I think they get the win outright against the Sabres on Saturday.
I can see that happening too, especially with the Sabres' recent skid. But thank you again, everybody listening. Please subscribe on iTunes, on Google Podcasts, stream on Audio Boom or Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts.
And follow us on Twitter, as always, NHL Jensen, NHL Reese, NHL Fantasy. We're excited for the Friday and Saturday night slates. Hit us up with any last-minute questions on Twitter, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks again so much for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Have a great weekend.